I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, what is up, and welcome back to What Culture Star Wars. The Mandalorian Chapter 14 included some really big doozies, including Grogu reaching out to the Force, but also the return of none other than Boba Fett. Yes, the episode finally delivered on that tease back from Chapter 9, with Boba back to retrieve the armor that is rightfully his. Like I said, this episode included loads of interesting details, but one thing I really want to focus on is how it changes everything we knew about Boba's character so far, as well as a few other details regarding his father, Jango. With me today to unpack the latest episode, as always, is the bodacious Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
Hello there, indeed. Now, Ben Roy, what did you think of Boba Fett's introduction? Because I thought it was remarkably well handled. He was grizzled, world-weary, badass, but they also included some exciting new details that tell us more about his and his father's past.
So it's really interesting because they've actually taken Boba Fett, which is one of the most coolest characters in history. I'm doing air quotes here for people that are listening, because essentially Boba Fett, I never know how to say it, was just a cool toy for a lot of times. A cool toy that was banned, that no one ever actually got to get that nice little cool jetpack thing, and then just got eaten by a hole in the floor, which is a glorified mouth,
on the floor.
A mouth slug thing.
You've come up with the next BBC quiz show there. That's going to be a reference completely lost on all of our audience. But yes.
Just try and eat all the skiffs and Tatooine in the desert and all these Jawas running away. Come at me. But they've taken Boba Fett and they've given what was just essentially a suit, and they grabbed Boba Fett from episode 2, they've grabbed him over here, and they've mixed it all together. And now we kind of have someone who's got, it feels like he resents the past. He's got regrets. He doesn't feel what I thought he was going to be, so mean-spirited. He's more like mellowed out and realized, like maybe just going for the highest bidder.
It's just like, I'm done with it. I can't, give me my armor, Batman. Like, yeah. Come on. Like, it's mine.
I didn't think they were going to give us him in the armor. And then, you know, spoilers for later on, but when they gave us the money shot, even with the sort of dad bod he's got going on there, I was like, you know what? I wasn't expecting them to ever do this in The Mandalorian, but I'm kind of grateful for it, even though sometimes it did look like a fan film.
So this is, of course, another installment of the What Culture Star Wars podcast. We've got loads of stuff coming up in terms of, you know, dissecting the episode. But one thing I wanted to focus on in the intro was the stuff that we got regarding Boba Fett, because obviously it's the biggest inclusion here. We didn't know whether the Mandalorian was going to remember that it had introduced Boba Fett in Chapter 9, you know, just kind of walking at the end. It was just picking up all these toys and putting them in different places.
How many weeks was I going on? Where's Boba Fett?
Yeah, exactly. This was 5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, something like that. I can't remember. I've completely lost track of time in 2020. But obviously, when we get him, you know, introduced, it's really cool because, you know, he's not only there, he's got Fennec Shand with him as well, which is great because you don't kill off Ming-Na Wen. If you have Ming-Na Wen in anything, you do not kill her off because she's great. And the other thing that was really cool here is that they kind of changed what we already knew about Boba Fett in the current canon. Now, his characterization, I think, is pretty consistent, because if you are familiar with the wider Star Wars comics that we've gotten recently, you'll know that Boba Fett has a strict code of honor, and he honors that code of honor in this episode by agreeing to help Din, obviously, you know, go after Moff Gideon and take the child back, even when he didn't have to, which is really cool. But the other thing as well is that they confirmed that Boba's armor is just Jango Fett that he's repainted, which is interesting to me because I'm fairly certain in most of the other expanded material we've gotten so far, it's been heavily implied that Boba assembled that armor himself and that he basically modeled it on his father's, whereas now we know that it is officially Jango Fett's armor. And the other thing as well, which is a big doozy, is that we get confirmation here that Jango Fett is a Mandalorian foundling and that he also fought in the Mandalorian Civil War. I believe that was heavily implied in the Clone Wars anyway, but to get confirmation of the fact that, you know, Jango is, for all intents and purposes, a true Mandalorian is pretty cool because, you know, it harkens back to the stuff in Legends, I believe. And also the fact as well, I think it's way more interesting than what I initially speculated would be the case, where I thought, you know, the Mandalorian would introduce Boba Fett as essentially sort of like a kind of a side antagonist in a way. You know, he's meant to be represent everything that a Mandalorian shouldn't be. And, you know, Din comes to learn that there is more to being a Mandalorian than just wearing the armor. But I like what they're going with here and the Fragile Alliance. And you know what? I'm not a big Boba Fett fan, but I was just like giddy as hell the entire time he was doing cool stuff. Like Tamura Morrison, he's fantastic. And yeah, what did you make of the revelations regarding the armor and Jango Fett?
I just want to say also, I do think he's an amazing. And when I watched, what is it, the DC film he was in, Aquaman, when I saw him in that and I saw he's aged up a bit, I was like, you know what, you look like you could be an old Boba Fett. And then lo and behold, like I didn't invent it, Dave Filoni got on the old bearing, like, can we please have you in this show? And it's just, I think the revelation, like, it makes sense that the armor is passed down, right? Because I don't think that when the prequels are about like Beskar armor and how how impervious it wasn't really sort of like in the forefront of everyone's mind as a Star Wars fan. Like, you didn't realize, like, I'm pretty sure everyone watching like Attack of the Clones wouldn't realize that Jango could have just put his arms up pretty much and blocked Mace Windu's swipe to the head and like cut his head off, sort of thing. And I just like the lineage, and I like that. I do feel like it's taking off the edge a bit of Jango and Boba. Like, I like the bit of the ruthlessness they had, especially like when you have Boba, who's just so like, nah, I'm here for the money, I'm here for the business, and Empire Strikes Back, and you just feel like nothing's going to sort of stop him. I do like the humanization of this character, even if it's just for a bit, and then we get another double, triple, quadruple sort of like double cross, because in the end, like, Boba did sound a bit shocked when he's like, the Empire are back.
But, I did want to touch on that, yeah.
But also, they didn't shoot at him or anything. Like, there's certain things like that. There was no shots fired. There was no ties dispensed. You know what I mean? It all felt a bit too clean at some points. Like, I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good observation, because when I looked at that moment, I was like, why haven't they just shot him? That feels like a very obvious omission. But, you know, maybe there could be that ruthless streak to him. I think the thing that I want to point out is that, you know, we have seen Boba depicted as an anti-hero, both in the new canon and in the old canon. And I was surprised, to be fair, that he reacted with as much anxiety and surprise that when he saw the Star Cruiser, and he was like, oh, the Empire's back in the Outer Rim. And he looked genuinely quite fearful when, for, you know, given what we know of the character for, you know, so many years, is that he was at least a willing participant in the Empire. You know, his time with Darth Vader goes back to, in the gap in between episodes 3 and 4, and then also in the gap between episodes 4 and 5, where Boba is the person who reveals to Darth Vader that the pilot who destroyed the Death Star is actually Luke Skywalker. So, you know, he has a lot of history with the Empire. But obviously, you know, in Empire Strikes Back, there is that kind of hint that it's a fragile alliance. You know, he's very protective over Han Solo. He doesn't want Darth Vader to kill him or whatever. So that is interesting. And I am curious to see how much they go into, you know, exploring Boba's character here. And, you know, it's really cool to me, because as much as I was there when this was first announced, like, oh, we're bringing Boba Fett back. And I was like, oh, no, don't bring Boba Fett back. No, I can't be asked. I was over the moon this entire episode. And I love the idea of this being a proper code of honor driven alliance they're going to do. And I'm looking forward to seeing him interact with Din. I really hope there isn't some sort of element of double crossing going on here. Although, you know, maybe the decision not to show the Star Cruiser shooting at Slave One was, you know, meant to be kind of a hint that there is something aloof going on. But yeah, I thought the idea of having them have an alliance, I was a big fan of.
How lovely was it to also see the Slave One back in action? Like, I know. Not totally back in action, but just flying about and just seeing it again. And like, now we have confirmation that it wasn't destroyed. I feel like we never really knew what was happening to that ship, and I'm glad that Boba got it back. But I love this kind of one of stuff, but I also don't want him to be like, don't want him to find out that he was always a sleeper rebellion agent or anything like that. I want Boba to have an edge of like darkness to him, and sort of like, I want him to be sort of like, you know, say maybe 60-65% cool and nice, but there's also that like sort of like 40-45% that, or 35% that is just like, you know, bad, and like he's out there for the money still. So what I would like to see, as he's got the armor back, maybe his confidence also comes back, because we don't know what was happening to him after he crawled out the giant hole in the floor. Like, we don't fully, it's all sort of still up there in mystery, and we know, why didn't he get his armor of Cobb Vanth?
From Cobb Vanth, that was my big question as well. It's like, well, okay, so he's clearly after his armor. Wouldn't it have been easier just to go to Cobb Vanth? Oi, that's mine. Yeah. Piss off. Because, you know, he doesn't do that.
So why didn't he do that? And where was he this whole time? And also, another big sort of question, I'm joking, a big question is, where did Din Djarin's jetpack go? Because he wasn't wearing it at the end. I hope he didn't just leave it on Typho. Is it
Tython. Yeah, I mean, I think he will have brought it back up. I would assume that his nice disintegration rifle thing is probably gone along with the rest of the Razor Crest. I mean, that's a good, you know, little pivot we can segue off talking about Boba Fett, because he's really cool. And, you know, if we could dedicate multiple podcasts just to talking about Boba. But there were some big things that happened in this episode. Like you mentioned there, the Razor Crest was completely destroyed, which is incredibly sad, because it's like the coolest, like, you know, piece of crap in the galaxy. But the Beskar spear survived, which, you know, it would, because it's Beskar. And, you know, that heavily implies to me again, you know, like we brought up last week, that there is, you know, Mando and Gideon are gearing up for some kind of duel where Gideon will be wielding the Darksaber and Mando will be using the Beskar spear. And, you know, I feel as though this is kind of the route that it's going down now. We're going to have, obviously, next episode, we're going to have them, you know, busting out MIGs. And the final one, it'll be the big rescue and stuff. I'm really liking how we're getting set up for the finale here.
Yeah, and also, can I say Dark Troopers, how I called that? I was so happy when they actually said Dark Troopers, like, yes! That was, actually, we got some of that. But, yeah, it all just feels like it's playing out like one of the older games at the moment, and I'm just so, like, in it all and trying to see how it's going to go. And sadly, Din's lost all of his stuff, and you do know, look, we do know this, the real, what's going to happen in this. The real episode next is going to be Din picking up a plate and then just repairing the ship and rebuilding it one piece at a time. And that is the next four seasons of The Mandalorian right there. Rebuilding the ship. Maybe we'll have some sand spiders this time. Who knows? But just to jump off of that ridiculousness. It's going to be interesting now, Din not having a ship, and how long is he going to be with Boba? Like, we don't know how long, like, imagine if he just somehow inherits a Slave One and Boba Fett's like, I'm going to go back and retire on Tatooine and become a moisture farmer. I hear there's an empty homestead about, or, you know, there's an empty house somewhere. Like, I might just relax.
Just flash forward about 20 years to when Rey's at the end of The Rise of Skywalker is burying Luke and Leia's lightsabers, and Tamora walks out in his dressing gown and his mug being like, hey, what you doing here? Get out.
He's got Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen just displayed as like sort of decoration.
Like Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, given the rumors regarding the Boba Fett spin-off series and how they have come from reputable outlets like Deadline. I've heard people suggest that it could be a prequel to season two, where it'll be about Boba and Fennec before then, but also talk that it could potentially be, you know, the thing that segues into the third season of The Mandalorian. And to be honest, I think Fennec Shand is a really cool character, and Boba Fett, again, obviously, you know, he has credentials. I would like the crew now to be Boba, Din, and Fennec, because I think that's a great dynamic that you could potentially have there. But not that I think it will last or anything, but yeah, I mean, just great to see them all interacting and having that kind of alliance going on.
It does feel like building a newer crew, because you can't keep taking the same people around, especially when some of them are looking after a whole planet or so. So it does feel like, say, a little bit of a change of the guard, and also Our poor droid was destroyed last season, so there's no droid there at this point. I was always wondering if they'd bring him back in some sort of mind transference, but maybe that's just done forever, which sometimes it's good to have things done forever. But I my hopes for this is they're together at least till the end of the season and Gideon somehow gets away. I was also jumping into a bit of Gideon stuff when we had him towards the end, and he was looking into baby Grogu Yoda, however you want to call baby Yoda, Grogu Yoda baby. We should say it all at the same time if you want. When he was pushing away these stormtroopers and then force choking them for a bit, it seemed, and then lost the power to, and then...
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
As Moff Gideon got there, I just wanted, when you start talking, I just wanted baby Grogu to say, not if anything to say about it, I have, just throw him across the room like, yes, oh to Palpatine.
That great shot in Revenge of the Sith where Ian McDermott just goes over himself. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point to talk about, because you do see, you know, Grogu, put it down to inexperience or, you know, fear or whatever, but he isn't just force pushing these guys away. He is choking them, bending their limbs and slamming them together and stuff. And that is interesting. And, you know, again, we've spoken about the connections to the dark side all along. We don't know who he reached out to on that seeing stone. It seemed that he was pretty chill and peaceful. But do you think we're going to get any closure?
Chilly in the Zen pose.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think we're going to get any closure on that in this season? And, you know, me and you did a video earlier on this week about, you know, potential Jedi who could reach out and train Grogu, but came to the conclusion that, you know, Din Djarin isn't going to let go of him, and that they'll, you know, he'll accept his destiny as being, you know, Grogu's, you know, surrogate father and, you know, being a Mandalorian and all that. And I feel as though that sentiment is backed up by the opening exchange in this episode where, you know, Din is talking to Grogu, but it feels as though he's talking to himself. You know, he's psyching himself up, being like, oh, I know I have to give you the way of the Jedi, and, you know, you can't just say no if they come along and wants to train you. And it feels as though he's talking to himself because he's not willing to admit he's made as much of an attachment to Grogu yet.
Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, do you think we're going to get any closure on where that big beam went?
I think we get a foot. Like we did with Boba Fett. I think we get a little tease. But also, Ken, how funny was it for him just to realize, for Din to realize that he can just say Grogu and finally get the attention of the child? And he's like, ah! And just sometimes it's just like playing with a new pet. Like, don't do it. It's like, hello. And it's like, they look at you and like they're waiting to be fed, as Grogu's always waiting to be fed. I think this is the first episode where Grogu hasn't been eating anything. Maybe Mandalorian history right there.
Maybe.
I think. We definitely, Grogu might, I think maybe Grogu spoke to someone and then maybe someone else was listening in. We don't know how this sort of thing would work. Mm. But I think Grogu definitely got into contact with someone because you need stories to continue. Mm. And it'll be a little tease. I'm still here for we get another season of Gideon sort of being the main folly at least. And we still have all the, is Bo-Katan going to come back into it? And is Din Djarin is and like maybe bother join like in a fight, like, and we get all these Mandos come together and they unite Mandos and then everyone and then come back to Mandalorian and we have this nice little happy ending. I don't know, it's there's all this sort of possibility and we don't know, do we know what part, what creed or anything that Boba Fett belongs to? Like, we don't know.
No.
He's that Jango.
I mean, I think they say that he was a flat foundling. They don't say what part of, but they just mentioned that he fought in the Mandalorian Civil Wars. And I know there were a few lines, or either lines in the Clone Wars or in some other like expanded piece of material, like in the comics or whatever, where they mention how Jango Fett was disavowed by the Mandalorian government. But obviously, you know, during the Mandalorian Civil War, you had the new Mandalorians and you had obviously, you know, the traditionalists and Death Watch and stuff who didn't want Mandalore to be pacifists or whatever. And I'm willing to wager that, you know, Jango probably had some kind of affiliation with Death Watch or some other group that, you know, I don't see Jango wanting it to be a peaceful endeavor, especially since, you know, he gave up his genetics to found the biggest army in the history of the galaxy. So I wonder if maybe, you know, there are so many, like we've mentioned before, they've set up so many potential avenues for spin-offs here. And, you know, either for that to be picked up in another TV show, another cartoon, another comic, another book, whatever, they could take them in so many different perspectives.
Question for you.
Go on.
Sorry, I'm interrupting. No, that's really cool. How many of the sort of the clone troopers were alive at the end of Rebels? Were any of them alive? Any of the main characters like Rex or anything like that? Is it Rex?
Yes. So
maybe Rex, Bobber and Rex meet up and like,
potentially. I mean, you know, there was that, you know, if you look on Dave Filoni's Twitter right now, he has a lovely concept art image that looks like it belongs to the Mandalorian of Ahsoka and Rex post Rebels riding around on those lizard things. Are they Blurgs? I think they're riding around on Blurgs.
Yeah.
And you know, Rex obviously in Rebels, he survives all the way to, you know, Return of the Jedi. They made a retcon the other year where the beardy fellow that's
about actually
him. So yeah, the beardy fellow in Han Solo's strike team is actually Rex as well. And anyway, it's heavily rumored that Temuera Morrison is playing multiple roles in The Mandalorian, whether that's in this season or next season is, you know, kind of up in the air. But definitely, I would love to see Rex. And the most exciting thing for me is also slightly frustrating because there are so many different things that can go here, but I have no clue where they're going to start and who's going to get the most focus. So that's the big thing at the moment.
It does feel like whatever is happening now is becoming a bit too big for the show, as we said before. Mm-hmm. But I would rather that than a bit too much than a bit too little, like we felt like we had at the start of the series. Mm-hmm. And wherever this spills into the to an Ahsoka series, which I think it should, like we still had the thing where, like, Thrawn was name dropped last week and he's going to be the Spectre now that I mentioned. Where's Thrawn every episode? Mm-hmm. Like, he may never appear in The Mandalorian, he may appear in Thrawn's adventures with Ezra around the galaxy, but who knows, sort of thing.
I have a question for you, actually, because yes. it might be interrupting you here, but obviously at the end of this episode, Moff Gideon tells his officers to inform Dr. Pershing that they are going to be en route. They have found the suitable donor. Do you think we might go back to Kamino?
I was thinking about that when we were talking about earlier, but I don't know how much of, if there's any other parts of Kamino. Like, didn't they have several conflicts, and didn't the Emperor or Palpatine or however you want to call him ordered like the facilities to be destroyed and shut down?
Potentially, sure. but maybe, you know, they've kind of moved in there, because obviously we know that Pershing has the Kaminoan patch on him.
Yeah.
So I'd be very excited to go back to Kamino. I'd love to see them do something with that. I'm not as familiar with what went down on Kamino in the new canon. Obviously, in the original Star Wars Battlefront 2, you take the 501st and you take down the clone rebellion or whatever, but I'm not familiar with what happens in the new canon. Either way, I'm excited to see where we're going next. I think what's going to happen right now, I mean, it would be fitting as well if, you know, you're going to get Temuera Morrison to play on multiple roles. You know, maybe that's a great excuse to have. Maybe Rex is back there investigating an Imperial sea. I don't know. I'm getting way too ahead of myself here, but I would like to see Kamino at some point, especially given I kind of thought that this week's setting was a little bit boring.
Yes, it did feel like student film location, and some of the Boba Fett like shots just looked a bit too cheap for my liking. It feels like we need to add more to that costume, whether it's more of a like sort of like cape or something to fill it out a bit more. Then it just feels like you've stuck some plates onto a bit of fabric, which, I mean, I looked back at his photos and it was that, but it just, I don't know why, it just feels a bit janky at the moment. even though it also was cool at the same time.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the point for now, because, you know, he's been wearing those robes to protect him from the heat of Tatooine. You know, he's wielding the Tusken Raider cycler rifle. He's also got the gaffy stick as well, which he uses. But yeah, I think it's intentional. You could see him maybe getting some like proper under armor, I want to call it that, or a jumpsuit to go underneath the armor potentially. But yeah, I think if I was going to criticize any aspect of this episode, I would say that Tython as a whole didn't match the other locales we've seen in The Mandalorian. It just looked like they filmed it on like just some, you know, a patch that they'd found outside. And again, I love me some Robert Rodriguez. But I did think that, you know, this wasn't the show. I thought the action was well handled. I loved the stuff with the gaffy stick that Boba uses to, you know, club the stormtroopers. But it definitely did feel a bit weird, a bit too Earth-like with all the vegetation around.
Yeah, I this is one thing that Star Wars is always going to have a problem with, unless they do some like different, unless they create some more different environments. And I'm trying to think of the Mushroom Planet, which is
Felucia.
I'm the worst Star Wars fan that all these things escape my mind from it. But like now that they've got this, like now that they had this the magical set war thing, that they should probably do a bit more of that. Like we get that in the game sometimes, where planets look a bit more space like because you're just crafting that, whereas in the real world, we're just filming in the real world. But I think with the new technology they've sort of got around, I think we need to maybe jump a bit more into more sci-fi looking locations than a hillside. If I was to be the biggest critic, if that was my biggest critique. But also, I would, as we wind down, I want to know what you think about like the Death Troopers and stuff, because like, did they
the dark troopers
not the Death Troopers, I'm cool. Because we had stormtroopers bumbling around being idiots and using mortars and just not getting out of the way of not running to the left or the right from a boulder, but the dark troopers for me are sort of like, they feel like the actual folly for Mando and Boba and everyone as we get to the conclusion with Gideon this season, I hope.
Yeah, the Dark Troopers, I thought they looked great. Obviously, you know, the production standards of this show are high and they look fantastic. I thought it was interesting how we didn't really see Din take stock of the fact that they were droids. Obviously, you know, he's gotten over his droid phobia now, given, you know, what he went through in season one. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing them be used in an actual combat capacity. I want to know what makes these droids tick. Have they got, you know, mad armor plating? What blasters have they got? That sort of thing. I thought it was cool how they were flying around. That was pretty interesting. Yeah. And yeah, like I'm looking forward to just seeing more of them.
Sentinels.
They did. You know, and it's one of those things where I just look at them and I'm like, wow, we have dark troopers in live action. That is so cool and something that I personally would have never expected to happen with Star Wars. So
yeah,
that's a big highlight for me. And yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see how many of them he has. Are they just the only, you know, the only group he has? I mean, there were quite a few that were lined up in the hangar of his starship, but yeah, I don't know.
Are they going to be sort of like mini Terminators where they're hard to kill or something? There's always questions to answer. And like, I think still probably the biggest question, as I think everyone has, is when's Zuckuss and Dengar going to get in the fold? And when are we going to bring the entire band back together? And Bosk, where's Bosk? Let's get him back in there. We spoke about him in Solo. We've not seen him for a while, though. So, yeah, but I'm really here. I think next episode, next chapter, next season, Zuckuss, let's have the Zuckuss backstory. And I can't wait to go to his planet filled with gas.
I can't believe you've just dropped the Zuckuss bomb out of nowhere, man. God, he's the harpoony one, isn't he? He has the harpoon. Is he the guy that's the diver?
The breathing apparatus, because his whole planet is like, they live in their atmosphere, and if they leave, if anyone goes to their planet, they have to like breathers and stuff. So yeah, but Zuckuss is the king.
Yeah, I think we've covered everything right now in terms of, you know, what we think of Boba, the stuff that, you know, the way that the show has kind of given us insights into his character and all that sort of thing. But
other thing, do you think that Baby Grogu is going to be the folly? Like, do you think Baby Grogu is going to be the how we get Palpatine back?
Oh, I mean, I think the evidence, we brought this up during the the episode where we get to see the tanks and stuff, the actual, like, the tanks that hide what I thought were early versions of Snoke. You kind of speculated that they might be, you know, dark force troopers in terms of, like, what we see, what were they called, shadow troopers in the old games or whatever, the force sensitive.
Yeah, shadow, and there's another type,
but yeah, I mean, we know from that show, well, from that episode, that they worked in a little bit of Snoke's theme when the shot came over them, and we still don't know who Moff Gideon is, you know, kind of serving. It seems like his operation is small, but it's secretive as well. So yeah, I mean, I have no idea. I kind of don't want the Mandalorian to go down that route, because I don't care for Rise of Skywalker, just me personally. But if they find a way to make that creative decision more interesting, then more power to it. I mean, I'm along for the ride at this point. I've been impressed by everything that we've seen for the most part this season. So yeah, what do you think?
I think that it's probably going to be like the force transfusions have been attempted before in other parts of the canon. I think it's going to be that, but I don't think. I think this was a question asked by some by a Josh on Twitter, by the way. I just thought JT, well, I'll give him a shout out. But yeah, this, I don't think it's going to directly link into it. I think Palpatine at this point is already on Exegol, and he's just going to be over there and doing his own thing. I don't think it's got anything to do with Snoke either, because I don't think someone like Moff Gideon, who I think might have been just a little sort of like lower, sort of lower down gremlin guy, and then once the Empire started to fall apart, he might have come across into some power and then just sort of like ruthlessly just killed anyone that was in his way and just rose and rose and rose like that. He might have been just a lower officer. And I don't think someone like that is going to want to give power back to anyone, to like a magician, when he's like a man of the Empire.
He does. He has grand designs. He has the darksaber and stuff. So, yeah. But yeah, I want to know what you all think of The Mandalorian Chapter 14 down in the comments below if you're watching on YouTube, or let us know on social media if you've been listening on Acast or wherever else podcasts are found, because I know where they're found, but I'm just saying they're found everywhere. Please also be sure to check out What Culture Star Wars. You are obviously here if you're on YouTube right now. It would be great if you could join us for future installments of the What Culture Star Wars podcast. You can give the video a like, and also subscribe to the channel where we've got other stuff planned in the coming weeks and months ahead. But for now, anyway, I've been Ewan. You can follow me on Twitter at EwanRuinsThings, and you can follow Ben Roy Turner on Twitter at...
After you've taken a dirt nap, you can follow me at Ben Roy Turner. And if you don't know where that quote is, then you've been playing the wrong Star Wars games.
We will see you next time. Bye.
Good night, everyone.
It's midday.
I'm going to bed.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.